ACB Radio is brought to you by the American Council of the Blind. If you would like more information about the council, visit their website at www.acb.org. That's www.acb.org. ACB, the people that bring you ACB Radio.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our listeners through ACB Radio to the Mantra on Russell Hotel in Melbourne, where we're at the start of day five of the International Council on English Braille's General Assembly. Here, delegates are just moving into their places for the start of this day, which is largely taken up with consideration of resolutions, policy resolutions, and we hope you enjoy our coverage throughout the day. For our ACB Radio audience, here's our chairman, Dr. Fred Schroeder.
Thank you, and good morning to all of you. I trust you all had a good night's rest. Before we begin, we have an announcement, a very sad announcement, from Canada, and so I will call on Darlene Bogart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to tell everyone that Anne McCuskey had to leave very suddenly because her husband had a heart attack, so she caught the plane this morning. So please keep her and her husband in your thoughts. Thanks.
And of course, we wish her and her husband the very best, and we'll keep them both in our thoughts and prayers. The first item of business this morning was carried over from earlier in the week. It is the Treasurer's Report and the report of the Budget and Finance Committee. Eileen Curran will be giving that report. However, she and I discussed giving you all a few minutes to read the report since it has just now been delivered to you. It isn't long, but we'll give you 3 or 4 minutes to look over the report. Eileen will then make her presentation, and we will have questions and discussion following that.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to start, again, I apologize for the late arrival of this report due to technical difficulties, but I hope to keep my presentation short and sweet. Our financials are in very good shape. We have, as you can see, over $35,000 in our account as of December 31st, 2007. A few things that I would like to bring to your attention on that. The membership dues, as you will see, do not always add up from year to year. In terms of, we should have $3,500 each year in membership dues. That is simply a timing error due to sometimes the checks come in January or February or March, and therefore they are accounted for in the next fiscal year. And therefore, you will see that the membership dues do not all add up. Under expenses, I wanted to point out what some of the expenses are. You will see in 2005, we had some conference call fees, and those were for the UEB code development. In 2006, we had some fees for travel expenses. One of those expenses for $2,594.53 is to cover the expenses for our chair to attend the executive committee meeting in South Africa. And that is in the Constitution that the president's fees are covered. The other expense in 2006 for travel was for ICEB to allow for Bill Jolly to present on UEB at the ICEVI conference. And those expenses are $2,496. The third expense in 2006 is under printing production fees, and that was to cover the printing of the IPA, and that was for $351. And $0.30. In 2007, our expenses are for travel, and that is to cover the expenses for Joe Sullivan to attend the UEB Maths Code, a Maths Committee meeting in New Zealand. Those are the only expenses that are not self-explanatory on the summary statement. I am working with Bill Jolly right now to pass these financials on to him as the new treasurer. And before I do that, these reports will be our accounts will be fully audited. Are there any questions?
Great. All right.
Thank you.
With that, Eileen, I presume you are moving the acceptance of the treasurer's report.
That is correct.
Darlene?
Sorry, I do have a question. The CD investment, will that have to stay in the United States till they mature, or are you going to be able to transfer them without loss, or what?
I am looking into that. I have a call into the bank to find out at what point. I believe they mature, I think it's this coming summer. So if we do need to leave them for a little bit, it won't be too long. But I am looking into that.
Thank you.
All right. It has been moved that the treasurer's report be accepted. Is there a second to the motion? Australia seconds. Bill Jolly, any discussion?
Chairman, yes. I'm not seconding the motion. I'm questioning the wording.
All right.
I think that the Constitution requires that the finances are audited each year, and the finances haven't been audited for the last 4 years. So I think the correct wording is that the Treasurer's report be received and noted. I'd be much more comfortable with that rather than the word accepted, because the word accepted implies endorsement, and I don't want to go into a discussion about that, and I would just prefer received and noted.
That makes good sense to me. If the Assembly is agreeable, then what we will do is amend the motion to say that the report was presented and received, and once the report has been fully audited, then the executive can take action on approving it. Is that agreeable? All right, so the motion is to receive the report. And is there a second? Bill Poole? All right. Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of receiving the treasurer's report, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you very much.
Budget?
Yep.
The next item is the budget report, and at this time there is no report, but I know my successor, Mr. Jolly, is going to make this happen. So at this time there is no budget report.
All right. I don't think we even need to receive that. We'll just let that sleeping dog lie. All right. Bill Jolly?
2 points, Chairman. I think it's important that we get some of the language right here. We have a Budget and Finance Committee that's a standing committee of the organisation under the Constitution.
Yes.
So I think that we need to report and note for the minutes that the Budget and Finance Committee has not met. I think it met in 2006, but has not met since then. And accordingly, there is no report for this meeting. But also, before Eileen finishes, there is another document to her report which relates to the 3 months January to March 2008. And I think we need to... delegates need to be given some information about that aspect of the report, including clarification of whether all member countries are financial, because it doesn't look as if everyone is from that report, but I understand that in fact they might be. So I think that needs to be clarified.
All right, so we're back on the on the treasurer's report. And Eileen?
There are three countries that are not reflected here. I am assured by my assistant back in Boston that the checks are on my desk. They just have not been included in the account because they arrived after my departure. So, to my best knowledge, all countries have been paid up.
All right. We have already received the report, so no further action is needed on that. As far as the Budget and Finance Committee, I believe the minutes will reflect Eileen's comments. If you feel as though we need a motion to formally receive the report, I'm agreeable.
No, I wasn't suggesting that we need a motion, Chairman. No.
All right. All right, then we will move on from there. And again, Eileen, thank you. There are a few jobs that are as thankless as being the treasurer, and we certainly appreciate all of your work in that respect. Next, we move to resolutions, and the chairperson of our resolutions committee is Judy Dixon from the United States, and I'll turn it over to Dr. Dixon.
Good morning, everyone. Well, we had a very late night meeting, and we were up most of the night working on these. Actually, the truth is we actually dispatched with these very quickly because they're all so straightforward, but that's the kiss of death if I say that. But let me start by thanking the committee. They were tremendous. We all worked very well together. We had Christo Duclerc, Betty Noble, Bruce McGuire, and Bill Poole. So I guess we will just read through these and take each one as it comes. Is that mm-hmm. how we proceed? Okay.
Yep.
Resolution 1.0. This General Assembly recognizes that the charges given to the ICEB Tactile Graphics Committee in Resolution 10 of the 2004 General Assembly have not been accomplished and that a new approach is needed. The General Assembly recognizes the importance of tactile graphics in the dissemination of accessible information and resolves to focus attention on the development of international guidelines governing their production. This General Assembly resolves that a tactile graphics committee be reestablished by the executive with an initial focus on information sharing between ICEB countries and the consideration of internal guidelines for the production of tactile graphics. International guidelines. See, if it was UEB, I would have had that problem. I just wanted all of you to feel nostalgic about Braille and have a little old Braille under your fingers. So, discussion? Motion? Anything?
You
Nothing.
Have heard the resolution, and the chairperson moves the adoption of the resolution. Is there a second? Debbie Gillespie, is there discussion?
Okay.
Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, it is adopted.
Thank you. Resolution 2.0. This General Assembly resolves to endorse the continuation of a Braille Music Subcommittee charged with promoting access to Braille music. The committee will, 2.1, promote the importance of technology in the production and distribution of Braille music. 2.2, create a call to action concerning the need to preserve the heritage of Braille music only available in hard copy master format. 2.3, play an active part in the continued development of the International Braille Music Code. 2.4, promote the teaching and learning of Braille music. And the motion is due pass. Do we have a second?
All right.
Bill?
It has been moved and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of accepting the resolution as presented, please indicate by saying aye. Any opposed? It's adopted.
Resolution 3.0. This General Assembly recognizes the groundbreaking work of the Digital Accessible Information System Consortium in bringing about a revolution in reading. This General Assembly resolves to appoint the President of ICEB as liaison officer to the DAISY Consortium with the aim of creating cohesion between the aspirations of ICEB and the DAISY Consortium.
All right. And as long as this doesn't go into effect until the end of this assembly, I think it's a splendid resolution. All right. The committee recommends do pass. Is there a second?
Yes, Chairman.
Australia seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It is adopted. At this rate, we may be done by tea time.
We have 14 resolutions, folks, so this is number four. 4.0. This General Assembly recognizes the importance of refreshable Braille as a vital reading experience and the need to develop improved standards and technology to enable its use. The General Assembly resolves to create a refreshable Braille committee whose charge will be to, 4.1, formulate requirements in the sphere of refreshable Braille, 4.2, engage developers of refreshable Braille technology in discussing the feasibility of requirements, 4.3, influence the development of standards to incorporate requirements pertinent to refreshable Braille. The committee recommends do pass.
Is there a second to the motion?
Betty Noble, Canada.
Canada, Betty Noble seconds. Is there discussion? Australia.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm quite comfortable with this resolution. I'd simply like to flag that the executive may wish to consider the issues around 8-dot Braille as being a part of the work or consideration of this particular committee, because primarily, if not exclusively, 8-dot Braille is considered in the realm of refreshable Braille. So I'm not wanting to amend the resolution or anything like that, just making that comment as something that the executive may wish to think about when looking at its other committee arrangements in due course.
I think that is a very good recommendation, and one that the executive can incorporate into its thinking as this is implemented. Further discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It is adopted.
Thank you. 5.0. Whereas UEB has been adopted by Australia and New Zealand as their official Braille code, and whereas UEB is being increasingly used in South Africa and Nigeria, and whereas some software developers, e.g. Quantum Technologies and Humanware, have incorporated UEB into devices using Braille technology, and they are to be commended for this, and whereas such incorporation is needed to support the implementation of UEB, therefore be it resolved that the ICEB executive be charged with ensuring that every effort be made to encourage other producers of Braille technology to add support for UEB in their devices. The committee recommends do pass.
You have heard the resolution. Is there a second? Eileen Curran of the United States, is there discussion? Australia?
Thank you, Chairman. Just a typographical correction. It should be quantum technology instead of technologies.
Ah, okay. Got that.
Thank you for that. And while we're on that subject, these resolutions, we are operating under the presumption that as they are distributed, if we find other typographical errors, that those will be corrected without need for formal action. South Africa?
Chair, I think it's perhaps just a matter of wording, but perhaps we should substitute the word adopted where it first appears with implemented, because South Africa has also adopted, and I believe Nigeria has also adopted the UEB, but we've just not implemented it yet.
So change the first adopted to implemented? I think that makes sense.
Is there objection to the change?
Should we take that as a friendly amendment?
Let's let people
look
for just a
Bill
moment.
Bill has a...
Bill Poole?
Yeah, I just want to have a look at the resolution and see what that does to it. I mean, in principle, I want to do what he wants to do, but I think we might have to do a bit more. Let me just check.
No, I don't think so. I think so.
It's Darlene Bogart.
Yes.
These resolutions all sound very wonderful. I know so far there's nothing that I would object to. However, I'm seeing these for the very first time, and I'm not as sharp as some people, I think, in reading these resolutions. I wish that we could have some time to read them and to caucus with our countries before we move ahead and accept them.
That is something we can certainly do. Let us first resolve the issue of this wording change.
I've had a look. I mean, other people may have contributions to make to this, but I think that Christo's emendation is sufficient to achieve what we want. I thought we might have to alter some other things, but I don't think we do. I think that's enough.
All right. Rather than go through a formal... yes.
From Australia?
Yes.
I think we'd prefer the wording in that there to be adopted and implemented. We'd like the word adopted in there, so adopted and implemented by Australia.
So we're just adding and implemented?
Correct.
Okay.
All right. South Africa, is that agreeable? Other comments? Yes, Debbie?
Debbie Gillespie, Canada. I'm not certain, actually, in my own mind, what the difference in this resolution is and the previous one regarding refreshable Braille. Are we talking refreshable Braille in this one as hardware implements and implementing UEB, or are we, and the previous one, is it just refreshable Braille as Braille itself without the hardware piece?
Debbie, the committee talked about this, and we determined that these two resolutions were sufficiently different enough and that they might be used for different purposes, that we thought it was necessary to bring both of them before the assembly. The first one is meant to be a generic or general, quite broad-ranging resolution, specifically addressing the issue of refreshable Braille, software, hardware, the need for developments in the actual use and the way the devices currently work. And we have some thoughts about how to go about that. The second one is specifically UEB. The two manufacturers have chosen to implement UEB in their devices. We'd like the other manufacturers to do that too. And this resolution would be used to encourage that to happen.
Thank you very much.
All right. Back to the wording change. Are you clear on
yes.
the wording change?
Yeah.
All right. So you have all heard the recommendation. Rather than go through a formal amending process, if there is no objection, then we will make the necessary alteration. Hearing none, we will accept the change. Is there further discussion of the motion, or the resolution, rather? All right. Hearing none, those in favor of the resolution as amended, please indicate by saying aye.
Mr.
Chair. Yes?
I would like to have the opportunity to think about this before before the vote comes, and that was my whole point, that we not move on with making.
All right. We can certainly do that. What I was trying to do is forestall further action on this if it were not needed. I'm content to put off the vote. After we have a chance to caucus, I intend to reopen the opportunity not only to make comments on resolutions that have not yet been presented, but on the ones that have already been adopted. So you will get that chance. I am agreeable to deferring the vote on this resolution then until after we've caucused. Nigeria?
Yes, I think the wording is not quite correct with respect to Nigeria. I think it's that we have adopted it and are making plans, you know, how to implement it. So it's not a question of being increasingly used. It's a question that we have formally adopted to use IEB, and we are now looking at how to implement it and the materials to implement
keep
it.
Keep in mind, though, that these words represent, I mean, right now it's one moment in time, and I think that what we need here is probably language that represents the process rather than drawing a line in the sand at a specific moment. Mm-hmm. So think about that as you're
We will give you an opportunity. How much time would you all like? We have, 16, 14 resolutions?
14.
14 resolutions.
Really 13 substantive ones.
So is 30 minutes sufficient? Within your individual delegation.
Yeah, that's okay. I thought you were going to balk us one at a time, but I realize now you want to take them all together. Okay.
Is that agreeable with everyone?
Yes.
All right, so let's do this. I have a few minutes past 10, and why don't we plan to reconvene about 10:35?
You're listening to coverage of the 4th General Assembly on the International Council on English Braille. Live presentations from the Assembly will recommence shortly.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll come back together and take up the resolutions. What I'd like to do is to go back and see if there is further comment on, let's see, Judy, how many did we... We did four, we were on five. So I'm going to first inquire whether there is anyone who wishes to reopen Resolution 1. Hearing no comment, we will move on. Anyone wish to reopen discussion of Resolution 2? All right. Resolution 3. Hearing none. Resolution 4. All right. We had been taking up a discussion of Resolution 5, and you will recall there was a small wording change. Is there further discussion on Resolution 5? South Africa?
Thank you, Chair. Our constituency would like a few more words added. After the words New Zealand and the official Braille codes, and whereas UAB, now the new words, has been adopted and is being increasingly used in South Africa and Nigeria.
Okay, so you're just adding has been adopted and?
Yes.
Okay. Gina, are you getting these changes? Okay. That would be helpful. Thank you.
Whereas UEB
has
been adopted
and is already there. So
yes.
We're just inserting the words has been adopted and.
That's okay.
And is being increasingly used in South Africa. Okay. And then in the same one, Gene, this is also the one in the first sentence we had adopted and implemented by Australia and New Zealand. Okay.
All right. Further discussion? Canada?
Those were our exact words that we wished to add, so we just agree with South Africa.
All right. Further discussion? Hearing none, unless there is opposition, we will incorporate the proposed wording change. Are you ready to vote on adoption? All right. It has been moved and seconded that Resolution 5 be adopted. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Resolution 6.0. Whereas other countries in the world use English as a language to conduct international business or for other purposes, and whereas exposure to UEB might benefit Braille users in these countries, therefore be it resolved that ICEB seek funding to conduct workshops, the spacing of these dots, workshops in other countries as requested, and engage in other awareness-raising activities related to UEB, including dissemination of information about UEB, providing materials produced in UEB, etc.
All right, you have heard the resolution. The committee recommends adoption. Is there a second? Let's get a second first, and then we'll take discussion. All right, Canada seconds. Nigeria?
I would like the word might benefit Braille users in these countries to be changed to could benefit Braille users in these countries, because I don't think there's any doubt that it can. Right? And then the second thing is that at the last thing, including dissemination of information about UEB and giving access to materials produced in UEB. This would include both the accessibility to digital files and the actual physical copies, depending on what is required.
All right. Is everyone clear on the proposed wording change? Canada?
Just a little nitpicky thing. I'd like et cetera to be removed from the... I don't know what et cetera means, so just take it out.
I think it was meant to mean that there could be other things.
But the way it's worded, it says to include.
Right.
And so I don't think we need that.
United Kingdom?
Bill Poole, I'm suffering from the fact that I have the text of the resolutions as drafted, but when people propose amendments, it isn't always immediately clear what their import is. And so I understand perfectly the substitution of could for might, and I'd go along with that. But what I want to know is what the other amendment Jean had was, because I hadn't fitted it into the text, and I'm not sure what its impact is.
All right. Before we do that, let's take these one at a time so we don't get confused. Gene has proposed changing the reference to might to could. Is there objection to that wording change? Hearing none, we will incorporate that change. Gene, would you reiterate your second change?
Yes, my second change is that providing materials looks as though it's actually physically handing over materials. I would prefer it to be, since ETC has been removed, and giving access to materials produced in UEB.
So it's the last phrase in the entire resolution.
Yes, yes.
Giving access to materials produced in UEB, period.
Instead of providing.
Period. Okay.
Is everyone clear on the proposal? Is there objection? Yes, Bill Jolly?
Just seeking clarification on the introductory. I've got lost. Which resolution number is it?
Six.
Six. Ah, yes.
It's the very top of page five.
I've got it now. Whereas other countries in the world use English as a language to conduct international business, I'm unclear on the significance and the reason for being there of the words other, whereas other countries, and also the word international, why those two words are there. What's meant by them?
Oh, my.
All right. Bill,
I'm sure someone could give us the drill on this.
We'll definitely do that. I want to take these in order. Let's settle Gene's second revised wording change. Is there objection? Oh, that's all right. Is there any objection to the second wording change, which comes at the very end of the resolution that Gene proposed? All right, hearing none, we'll incorporate that. In that same sentence, Darlene had proposed removing the word etc. Is there objection to that wording change? All right, hearing none, those will be incorporated. Bill Jolly, could you repeat your comments?
Thank you, Chairman. I haven't formulated a proposal just yet. I'm still at the stage of question. And my question is with an objective of better understanding why the word other and the word international are included in the first whereas point. So I'll just read it as it is.
If I could answer, oh.
I'll just read it for so that people will be familiar. Whereas other countries in the world use English as a language to conduct international business and for other purposes. Right, thanks, Judy.
I think that the other in this case was meant to mean other countries that are not ICEB members and countries that are not necessarily English, where have English as their primary language.
All right. Well, Bill, if you decide to offer a wording change, we'll certainly recognize you for that. Bill Poole?
Well, I think what I wanted to say has been superseded. I was simply going to make the point that you made, but I think it's worth restating, that people shouldn't get on to other issues within a resolution until we've clearly resolved the issue under discussion, because it becomes very confusing if they do.
I will try to keep us on track. This is an unruly crowd, but I'll do my best. Other comments related to this resolution? South Africa?
Who wants to do you?
What is it? Thank you.
Hang on, I'm going to bring it over.
Chair, thank you. I'm just wondering why can't we, because we are still on six, and I'm afraid it will be adopted soon. Why can't we incorporate six and seven? Because to me, they are almost about the same thing.
If you wish to make that as a motion, you certainly are welcome to do it, but I believe you will get opposition, and so my recommendation would be, unless you feel strongly about it, I think it is probably worth keeping them separate.
Can I make a point about that?
Yes.
We considered that and decided that seven is quite specifically about Asia Pacific, and six is meant again to be a more general statement.
Chair, why is that distinction made? Because I, to me, Asia Pacific is not the only region encountering challenges. I think African countries as well encounter challenges, And to me, if we can just if we can just say countries encountering challenges should in this regard be assisted, then there is no problem. But if we start mentioning regions, we might exclude other regions as well that are encountering challenges.
All right. I think your point is understood. Let me ask it this way, and not trying to lead or persuade you, but to try to keep this as straightforward as we can. Do you object to having these as two separate resolutions? And the reason I ask is, if not, we can finish discussion on six and then discuss the points you're making as part of the discussion around Resolution 7. Would that be agreeable?
Yes.
All right. South Africa?
Yes, Chair.
Or, okay. And let's see, Nigeria?
Yes, I have some amendments to suggest for 7 anyway to take care of that.
We're still dealing with 6.
Yeah. Yes, I know, but I'm just saying okay. That with the need to put them together, I have some amendments to take.
UK.
All right, UK?
Simply to point out that we have some amendments that are relevant to the points being made by South Africa in relation to Resolution 7. And I think before the issue of whether they should be combined comes to the vote, you should hear the discussion on Resolution 7. And then if he still wants to combine them, then we can combine them with an appropriate form of Resolution 7. But until you've heard our amendments to Resolution 7, I don't think we're in a position to know whether we want to have them, these two separate or combined.
Australia?
Thank you, Chairman. I think this issue is significantly important and complex. That we would be wise not to combine the two resolutions, and there's no identified conflict between them, and then it would be easier to address the concerns raised by the delegate from South Africa. So I want to return to item six, where I raised a question, and having been now understood the situation, I'd like to propose a change of wording at the beginning of Resolution 6, if you're happy to receive that. I didn't quite hear the comment that Judy Dixon made after I spoke previously.
Yeah.
Whether you're waiting for a change of wording from me or not, Chairman.
Well, we're waiting for it if you wish to offer it. The way it stands right now is a suggestion was made to combine 6 and 7, but it was agreed by South Africa to leave the two resolutions separate, and that their concerns about the content of Resolution 7 would be taken up when we come to that resolution. So there is no motion on the floor at this time to combine 6 and 7. Now, someone right. could
so
offer it.
I'm addressing the first sentence in 6 on the understanding that we're not combining 6 and 7.
All right. Right. I just wanted to clarify that since you spoke against combining them. There is no motion to combine them. If you are ready to offer your wording change for Resolution 6, we are glad to receive it.
Right. So at present, the beginning says, whereas other countries in the world use English as a language to conduct international business or for other purposes, and whereas, etc. I'd like to suggest wording of whereas English is widely used as a native business or further language, often coexisting with local indigenous languages, especially in many developing or least developed countries.
All right.
No, that's wording that's consistent with the resolution passed at ICVI 12 in 2006.
All right. You have heard the change.
Can it come again?
Yes. Bill, could you read it once more, perhaps a little more slowly, so we can take it down?
Yep. Whereas English is widely used as a native, business or further language, often coexisting with local indigenous languages, M dash, or N dash with spaces if you like, so dash, essentially in many developing or least developed countries, semicolon. And then it goes on, and whereas, etc.
You have heard the change. Is there discussion on Bill's proposed wording change? If UK?
I'm not sure how I want to vote on this change. It does seem to go further than was needed to just clarify the meaning. I mean, why wouldn't he have been content to just say, whereas in non-ICEB countries, whereas non-ICEB countries use English as a language to conduct international business or for other purposes, which don't need to be specified and don't need to be linked in into anything related to development. I mean, why won't that do, just to remove the confusion about what other countries are? I mean, international business is one of the purposes that they use English for, and we don't have to specify what others there are, including any local business activities. I mean, it just seems to be much more of a much more elaborate change than is needed. But having made that point, I reserve the right to support this if most other people do.
All right, and before we take our next comment, I would say to all of you, as we look at these resolutions, my recommendation would be that we look at them in terms of the content or the prayer of the resolution, what it is that it is seeking to achieve. And if there is wording that is perhaps not the very best that it might have been, but it has no impact on the substance, I would suggest that we leave it be, and that way we can concentrate our discussion on the main point of each resolution. South Africa?
Chair, no, if we go along with your suggestion, it would be fine. I just wanted to make the point that we couldn't agree with Bill's suggestion, because that would eliminate Nigeria and South Africa, because we are ICEP countries.
All right, and I suspect, Bill, that is not your intent.
Chairman, if yes. I may just say a couple of words.
Certainly.
I asked a question about the meaning of the words other and international, but I wasn't comfortable with the way the phrase was expressed, because, in fact, international business is not that important from our perspective compared with the use of English, for example, in education. And I wanted our priorities better balanced. And also, I wasn't happy about the reference to non-UEB countries, because precisely of the issue of South Africa and Nigeria, which are non-ICEB countries, I mean, because South Africa and Nigeria. So that's why I put the form of words. And I can assure you there are a number of other things that, had I more time, I would like to change in resolutions, but I won't be proposing such changes, because I agree with you entirely. It's just I happen to think this is an important change.
What I would propose doing is, since there has been discussion on this, I'm going to ask for a vote on whether to accept your language change or not. If you are prepared to vote, then I would ask that you not make additional comment. If someone feels an urgency to speak more on this proposal, I will recognize you. Canada?
If we could just have it read again, please.
All right, we'll have it read once more, and then we'll either vote it up or down. Jean, I think, took... you have it, yeah. Bill? All right.
Whereas English is widely used as a native business or further language, often coexisting with local indigenous languages, especially in many developing or least developed countries.
And then it would go on to
whereas.
The second whereas clause.
That's right.
And whereas exposure to UEB could benefit Braille users.
All right. You're clear on the change. Bill has offered this. Is there a second to Bill's proposed wording change, Bill Jolly's change. South Africa seconds? No.
I'm not second.
Before I recognize you, it may be irrelevant if we don't get a seconder. Is there a... Australia? You're seconding the motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I second it.
All right, so we have a... Yeah, we need another country to second.
I do, all right.
If there is no... All right.
Canada will second it just to get it on the table.
All right. Canada has seconded. South Africa?
Chair, I wanted to say for us, South Africa, the word native has an unpleasant connotation.
All right. Nigeria?
Yes, I also agree with that, and I also don't understand this less in many developing and less developed. It's a terminology that's cropped up before, and I don't quite understand why it is necessary to add it.
Yes, Bill?
Two answers. Are we happy to use the word indigenous rather than native?
It's yes. Already used in that clause.
Yes, that doesn't prevent its use.
All right, UK? Go ahead.
The term developing countries and least developed countries is regarded as correct language in United Nations and in this area, because many countries prefer to be referred to as least developed countries, many in Africa. The word is least.
Yeah.
L-E-A-S-T, not L-E-S-S. Least developed countries.
All right. United Kingdom?
Could you just, if you're just proposing the use of the word indigenous, could you just read the resolution, that part of the resolution with just the word? Sorry, my brain's lost where you're going.
Whereas English is widely used as an indigenous, business, or further language, often coexisting with local indigenous languages. No, that mightn't be. Just take it out. Okay, I'll just take it out. Yep.
No, all right. Nigeria?
Just take it out. I'm happy with that.
No, just remove native because you can't use English as an indigenous language.
Right. All right, so you're asking Bill to refine his language to remove the reference to native.
Microphone, please. Whereas English is widely used as a business or further language, often coexisting with local indigenous languages, especially in many developing or least developed countries. Okay.
All right. Fine. South Africa?
Happy, Chair.
I beg your pardon?
I'm quite happy. A change, yes.
He's happy.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I was having trouble hearing you. All right, are we ready to vote on the wording change? Do you wish to hear it once more?
No.
Yes. All right, there's been a request to hear it one last time, and then we'll vote. Bill Jolly?
Whereas English is widely used as a business or further language, often coexisting with local indigenous languages, especially in many developing or least developed countries, and whereas, etc. The resolution goes on unchanged.
All right. You have heard the language. It has been moved and seconded that this wording replace the draft wording. Those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Yes.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Is there further discussion on Resolution 6? Hearing none. Those who are in favor of adopting Resolution 6 with the changes that have been brought before you, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. It is adopted. Judy?
Resolution 7.0.
This fourth General Assembly of the International Council on English Braille, recalling Resolution 12.0 of the third ICEB General Assembly, Toronto 2004, on the importance of Braille-related outreach activities in developing countries, reaffirming that Braille is a primary literacy, educational, and participatory medium for people who are blind, acknowledging that countries in the Asia-Pacific region face various and significant challenges to the introduction and promotion of Braille, resolves that the ICEB executive be authorized to work with the International Council on the Education of People with Visual Impairments, ICEVI, and other organizations to assist countries in the Pacific region to establish and expand Braille in literacy and education, and to facilitate participation in the community by people who are blind. The committee recommends do pass.
All right, you have heard the resolution. Is there a second? And then we'll open it to discussion. All right, Nigeria, second. Beg your pardon?
Okay, yes. Okay.
All right. Nigeria, seconds. Is there discussion? UK?
Yes. Okay, I actually think, as we had discussion on the previous resolution, that actually there are more areas of need than just the Pacific area. I recognize that that is a serious area of need, but also I know that Africa is a considerable area where Braille support is necessary. And therefore, in our discussions during the caucusing, I don't think I could personally redraft it, but I do believe... Oh, Bill's redrafted it, but I believe it should be redrafted. I'll tell you what I believe it should be done. I think it should have a 7.1, a 7.2, and a 7.3. And 7.1 would relate to the Pacific region. 7.2 would relate to Africa, and 7.3 would relate to the linking with ICVI to get support and work with them for both of those areas. So, Bill, if you've got some wording, then...
This is Bill Poole, UK, and if you disagree with me, you must just say so. I think I can make an amendment without splitting it into three parts that achieves what you want, but let's see if you agree that it does. Instead of saying acknowledge that countries in the Asia-Pacific region face various and significant challenges, it will say acknowledging that countries in the Asia-Pacific region and in Anglophone Africa face various and significant challenges, and then, when it said before, it's telling we've called on ICVI and other organisations to assist countries. Instead of in the Pacific region, it will just say in these regions, and that is this is clear what these regions are from what's gone before. Would that satisfy your thing?
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
All right, you have heard the proposed wording change. Is there discussion on the proposed wording change? Nigeria?
Please, I think there's a mistake in my second in the motion. I shouldn't have as a half delegate.
We will see. New Zealand will see.
Okay. All right, so New Zealand seconds the motion to adopt. Is there discussion of the wording change? Australia?
Chairman, broadly, we're quite happy with the wording changes. In particular, quite happy with including the reference to Africa. We're not sure about the use of the qualifier Anglophone, because we think that there may be some countries in Africa where English Braille is used that aren't necessarily Anglophone countries. There are a number of countries that might be predominantly French, for example, some Francophone countries, but which also use English, and we wouldn't want to exclude those. We think it's not necessary to put that qualifier in.
All right. Who's UK?
Can I respond to that point?
Certainly.
I we are. Am I on microphone?
Yes.
Yeah. We are an organisation concerned with English Braille and with English issues. There are a lot of issues that affect other countries which are important but which aren't within our remit. It seemed to me necessary to say Anglophone Braille, by which I meant any country in which there was significant use of English Braille, and that would imply significant speaking of it, of the language, I think, in some form. I thought it was necessary to include that because of the restriction on our remit as an ICEB. I don't see that it does any harm to do that, because if somewhere like Gabon told me suddenly that it uses more English than I thought, I'd certainly say that they were eligible to be considered within this. But that's a fairly remote contingency in my view. I think most of the countries that would be primary candidates for our attention would be obviously Anglophone, and there wouldn't be any controversy about that.
South Africa?
Chair, we feel that this resolution should be worded in such a way that regions are not specifically mentioned, because by mentioning some, you omit others. For example, India has been omitted here. They might well need to be included.
Are you proposing a wording change?
I haven't thought up one yet, no.
All right, we'll come back to you. Nigeria?
Yes, in this question of Anglophone, there is the example of Cameroons, which is a joint venture, so to speak, between part French country and part English country, where both English and French are dominant languages.
Canada?
I didn't know I had the mic yet. I'd like to suggest that for the sake of consistency, we use the very generic term that we used in the previous resolution, which was developing and least developed countries, and therefore that would resolve any issues of leaving regions out. The other the concern that Canada had was using the word assist, and we propose encourage, but maybe we should deal with that later.
We'll come back to that.
Yes.
UK?
No, it's okay. It's cool.
All right. Further discussion? All right. Do you wish to have Bill Poole repeat the proposal? All right. I'm going to try to do this by consensus. If not, we'll take a vote. Is there objection to the wording change proposed by Bill Poole? Canada has an objection? And South Africa. All right. Then, Bill, we're going to need to do it as a formal motion. And I presume...
I will in that case tell you what.
Hang on a second.
All right. Bill Poole?
What my word change is, so you know what we're voting on. I'm proposing to add after Asia Pacific region, where it says, acknowledging that countries in the Asia Pacific region and in Anglophone Africa face various challenges. And then when it says later on to assist countries in the Pacific region, I'm proposing to change it to assist country in these regions. I do regard India as coming within the Asia Pacific region. It is part of Asia.
All right, you have heard the motion. Is there a second? If there is no second, then the motion fails. All right. South Africa?
Chair, you want us to come up with wording now?
Oh, I thought you were seeking the floor. I apologize. All right. Canada?
It's Betty Noble here. I believe I have some wording which might solve this problem. We're beginning with the word acknowledging that developing and least developed countries face various and significant challenges to the introduction and promotion of Braille, resolves that the ICB executive be authorized to work with the International Council of Education of People from ICEVI, sorry, and other organizations to assist to encourage countries in the Pacific region to establish. In those regions, and then that would fix it.
All right. Now,
to assist these countries. Yeah, to assist these countries. Let me flip back and try again, because I think it actually does work. Yeah.
And we'll deal with the encourage versus assist later. So
okay.
Let's just
so
stay on this
does
topic.
Everybody understand the substance of what I'm doing?
All right. Any discussion? Hearing none, we may be able to do this one on consensus. You've heard the proposed wording change from Canada. Is there objection? Canada would like to hear it again.
Yes, I would like to hear the proposed wording once more so everyone is clear on it.
Let me try and get it right this time.
All right.
Okay. Acknowledging that developing and least developed countries face various and significant challenges to the introduction and promotion of Braille, resolves that the ICEB executive be authorized to work with the International Council on the Education of People with Visual Impairments, ICEVI, and other organizations to assist these countries to establish and expand Braille in literacy and education.
You have heard the change. Is there objection to the change? Hearing none, that wording change is adopted. And Canada, I believe you have a further proposal?
Yes, we would like to change the word assist to encourage, because we weren't sure that and unless you know, that ICEB have the resources to assist.
All right. UK?
I would prefer to vote on the wording that you have just given us and then consider assist change to encourage. I don't feel able to do that.
I didn't plan to take a vote on the earlier change because there was no objection.
Okay. Okay.
So the first proposal to broaden from Asia, or from, well, anyway.
So that wording has been accepted.
That wording is accepted.
That's fine.
Yeah, but you better tell them why you don't want.
So I feel on the assist to encourage. Then my view is, I do think we need a stronger term than encourage, because if you look at the evidence thus far. We have not necessarily been able to make much progress in this area, and I think assist is actually a stronger word and will incentivize, let me put it that way, the executive to focus some resources in this area. So I would encourage us to use it, assist, if you see what I'm saying.
Further discussion? Canada?
It's Darlene Bogart. I just want to know what is meant by assist. And you did say resources. I think we need a little more guidance here as to what you plan.
UK?
I think so far we have had a number of activities in this area. I know Jean, for example, has worked with a number of countries. So although we may not be deploying resources exactly from the executive, we are deploying resources as a whole, as an assembly. So I'm trying to recognise that, if you like, in this resolution. So I think it's a much more active involvement from ICEB than encourage would suggest.
I would also add that specific action implementing any of these resolutions will go to the executive to determine precisely the nature of that action. We want to give the executive as much guidance as we can, but there will always be some details that will need to be resolved by that body. Further discussion on this proposal? Nigeria?
I agree that assist is more stronger than encourage, because I myself have tried to encourage neighboring countries to get involved, you know, but I don't have the financial resources to assist them, you know. So I think that assist is a stronger move than encourage.
So are you encouraging Canada to withdraw its wording change? I'm sorry. Canada?
My question, I guess, then, on the resources, what type of resources are we specifically speaking about? Are we talking financial resources, expertise resources? I think I'd feel better if I knew exactly what type of resources that we're assisting with.
Well, I think the answer to that is that the executive will determine it unless we specify it in this resolution. And so if you specifically want to direct that assistance would include human and financial resources and perhaps other resources, you could add that level of specificity, but without that additional guidance, it will fall to the executive to determine what assistance ICEB can offer.
No, I'm fine with letting the executive make the determination.
Withdraw that wording.
So you're withdrawing the word change? All right.
Yes.
Other word changes, other proposals for Resolution 7? Nigeria?
I would just like to make the point that ICEB can assist these, not necessarily directly, but by encouraging other foundations and bodies to come in and help with these things. I mean, the organization that I have been had some contact with is Force Foundation, and I think there are many other similar organizations that ICEB could approach and say, look, this is something that needs doing, you know, how can you help us do it?
All right. Other proposed changes to Resolution 7? Hearing none, are you ready to vote on the resolution? All those in favor of adopting the resolution as amended, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. It is adopted.
Resolution 8.0. The ICEB General Assembly recognizes the importance of gathering and recording information relevant to the experience of those individuals implementing and using UEB. Therefore, be it resolved that the ICEB Executive Committee be asked to coordinate the development of a survey designed to gather information pertinent to 8.1, the perspectives and recommendations of teachers of students who are blind or visually impaired relevant to the implementation of UEB, 8.2, the perspectives and recommendations of students who use Braille relevant to their learning and use of UEB, and 8.3, the perspectives and recommendations of adult Braille users relevant to their learning and use of UEB.
The committee recommends adoption. Is there a second? Canada seconds. Is there discussion? UK?
Okay, it's Mike Townsend. I recognize the aspirations underlying this resolution, and it would be excellent to know all of this information. But given the paper that we had yesterday studying the experience of students learning Braille, and the major task that was to develop that as a serious research activity, and the amount of resource that was needed, the amount of work entailed. Although this resolution is great in its aspiration, I've got a feeling that it might well go the way of Resolution 11, which I want to talk about from last year, actually not get implemented. And therefore, though recognising the importance of this area of work, I'm not sure that the executive is going to be able to do it.
Mike, I think that's the reason that this resolution proposes doing a survey as opposed to a full-blown, all-out research effort. The thinking is that a survey might be doable, and with the creation of a research committee, this might be something that it could pursue.
Well, I've just indicated my... what I don't want to happen is the executive to beat themselves around the head and say, OK, we didn't do this. We've had a bit of that, unfortunately, with this assembly. As I say, I think that... What do I think, really? I think that this work should be encouraged, OK? This work should be encouraged, but whether the executive should be the ones to actually implement this kind of survey, and it's got to be full enough, really, to be credible. But if you just have a survey, interview a few people, then fine, but what does that tell us? So,
but the executive is asked to coordinate, not implement.
But coordinating a survey is an immense task, and if we're going to adopt it as an ICEB survey, then it must be credible, and therefore we must coordinate something that is really serious. Okay, I understand the aspirations, I've made my comments. We'll see if it gets passed what happens in 4 years.
Canada?
Go ahead. Debbie Gillespie from Canada. Mm-hmm. I think, Mike, I understand your thoughts completely, although I think this is precisely why the executive should coordinate the survey. It will give it more credibility, and it will also give it some consistency among the countries affected, so that the survey itself would be kind of standardized. What happens otherwise is that individual countries could develop surveys, and it would be hard to benchmark the data and correlate the data, depending on your different focuses. So if the ICEB executive, and again, it is a coordinate the survey and that sort of thing. So I believe that this is probably the best way to go to get an honest time. Thinking on this. Thank you.
Further discussion? UK.
Bill Poole, I've tried to listen carefully to what the Canadian delegation has to say, but just think for a moment. In what way does a survey differ from a properly conducted piece of research? It's just a type of research that you're asking for to be conducted, and you're hoping that any sampling you do will be representative. And I therefore... I don't see that the use of the survey, the word survey, does anything to detract from the feasibility of it as a task for the executive. Why isn't it a suitable task for the executive? Because they're actually being asked to coordinate the work of other people unspecified. There are presumably research organisations within the various countries that could collect data on these matters, but it would then be for the executive to coordinate this. Would that mean just that they'd collect all the individual results and produce an edited document, or would it mean they'd say, well, look here, Canada and Australia gave attention to this, that and the other aspect, the United Kingdom didn't bother with it, the United Kingdom had better to do further research to make the research that it does comparable with the research that has been done in these other countries. I mean, the role of a coordinator in this situation is very vague. If we want a piece of research done, then what the task of the executive should be would be to commission someone to do it and then stay out until the research had been done and the public and been published. It might help to fund the publication or something like that. That's all it could reasonably do. A coordination role seems to me to be much more active and inappropriate for the executive to spend human resources on.
We have the option of adopting or rejecting the resolution or modifying it, And so I'll give you a moment to think about whether you want to offer wording change or what your position might be. Other Canada?
I just wanted to perhaps explain a little bit the intent of this resolution. We were, as a country, very pleased to hear what has been going on in Australia and in New Zealand with respect to the implementation of UEB in the early part of the assembly. And we felt that it would be of great value and assistance to us if we actually had a more formalized process whereby we could quantify the feedback about UEB and its implementation in the various countries. This might change, but whoever engaged in this task, you know, our idea was not extensive research like the ABC study. It was simply a, you know, maybe a 5 to 10 question survey that would be used with the various stakeholders as indicated in 8.1, 2, and 3 to get some consistent feedback about the use of UEB and the implementation process in these countries.
Other comments? UK?
May we just take 2 minutes to discuss this in our delegations? I have something I just need to talk to the UK delegation before I can frame a proposal. It will take 2 minutes.
That'd be fine. We're at peace for 2 minutes. All right.
Okay, I do have an amendment to propose from the UK delegation, and I'll read it from. Be resolved that the ISB Executive Committee be asked to task the Research Committee to facilitate the exchange of information pertinent to, and then all the rest.
All right, you have heard the proposed wording change. Is there discussion on the proposal? Yes, Michael, could you do this one more time?
Oh, sorry, okay. Yes, I will do this. I've got to read it from two places, you see. Resolve that the ISB Executive Committee be asked to, and then, task the Research Committee to facilitate the exchange of information pertinent to, and then the rest of the motion.
U.S.?
Yes, this is Diane. There's one other piece of information, I think, if we were to be collecting data about implementation of UEB that's extremely important, and that would be from those people who are implementing it, the Josie Houses and others who are behind the preparation of documents, the in-servicing of teachers, those things are important for everyone to hear as well. So I would suggest that we include one other 8.4 or move them around a little bit to include the perspectives of those people who are the implementers of UEB within their respective countries.
All right. What I'd like to do is see if we can reach agreement on Michael's wording change. And if we can, then if you have specific wording that you wish to offer, we can consider that. Other comments related to Michael's proposal? Australia?
Can you just say it again, please, Michael? I'm sorry. I'm not sure if I've got all the words correctly down.
Michael, I think they're testing you.
I think they are. I'm actually glad to be on ACB Radio this morning as the star. Executive Committee be asked to then task the Research Committee to facilitate the exchange of information pertinent to.
discussion of Michael's proposed wording change? Hearing none.
To see if we accept the word change.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Canada has a comment relative to the proposed wording change.
Yes. We weren't sure if there is a research committee. That was our first concern. If there is, then that would work. But we would prefer to say not. We're not looking for exchanging information. We're looking for gathering information.
All right. In response to the first, research committee is a standing committee. It has not been active due to the inability to identify a chairperson who could lead the committee, and this is something that the executive will be working on subsequent to this General Assembly. So I do think that we should proceed with the assumption that a research committee will be constituted.
Good. Okay.
As far as your second wording change, let me inquire of Michael how he feels about it.
I think exchange requires gathering, but if they gather and don't share it around, that would be just a black hole for it to go in. So, therefore, maybe gather and exchange?
That's good. Yes. Yes.
Bill doesn't like it.
Yes, Bill Poole.
As I understood it, we substituted exchange for gathering on the basis that the information would be gathered locally in the various countries, and that would give that would create something to be exchanged that would require an international coordination, or whatever you like to call it. I don't think the research committee should be responsible for gathering the information. I very much don't think that. I think that overloads the committee with a task it isn't fit to do. People in their own countries can collect data on what is going on there, and then they can tell the research committee about it, and the research committee can see that everyone else who should be doing something similar has something to compare it with. That's the way I see it.
All right, the way we will move forward here is we are going to take Michael's original wording and either adopt it or reject it. If it is adopted and Canada then wishes to make further wording changes, we will consider them at that time. Further discussion of Michael's proposal.
Can we hear it again, please?
All right. Maybe you could tune into ACB radio.
The stream's about 30 seconds behind.
Doesn't it? This is, am
I being turned on? Oh, sorry, Mike. It's okay. There
you go. Sorry. Okay, this is your presenter from UK. Executive Committee, be asked to task the Research Committee to facilitate the exchange of information pertinent to, and then the rest of the resolution.
Sorry, I didn't hear that. Could you do it?
All right, you have heard the proposal. Let me see whether we're able to do this with consensus. Is there objection to Michael's proposed wording?
Yes.
All right, then we'll vote. Don't, all right, there is not objection. Anyone object to the wording Michael has proposed? Remember, you can offer further tinkering if you wish. All right, hearing no objection, Michael, you are now memorialized in perpetuity. That change will be incorporated into the resolution. Are there further changes that people wish to propose? U.S.?
Is this where yes. we would put the wording in for 8.4, or is that something later, Fred?
No, this would be a good time to do it. So the U.S. is recognized.
I have some wording for an 8.4, which would be everything that comes prior to that plus 8.4, the perspectives and recommendations of individuals responsible for implementing UEB within their respective countries. And I'm leaving it purposefully vague.
All right. Would you like to hear it again? Tradition demands. All right.
Do you
Diane?
Mean just mine or the whole thing?
Just your 8.4.
Thank you. The perspectives and recommendations of individuals responsible for implementing UEB within their respective countries.
All right, you have heard the proposal. Comments on the proposal? UK likes it?
Yeah.
If there is no objection, if I hear no objection, we will accept the addition of the wording under 8.4. All right, it is accepted. Further changes to the resolution? All right. It wasn't a motion. It was done. It was accepted without objection.
A GC, general consensus.
All right. If you are prepared to vote, I'm astonished if you are, but if you're prepared to vote, I believe we're on Resolution 8. And so those in favor of adopting Resolution 8 as amended, please indicate by saying aye. Any opposed? All right. I should forewarn you that I'm preparing a Resolution 15 that appoints everyone who offers a wording change to the Resolutions Committee for the next General Assembly. So, all right, Judy, let's see if we can do one more before lunchtime.
Resolution 9.0. This General Assembly resolves that all the seven member countries of ICEB undertake to select a contact person from their individual country to be part of a group who are able to share information, training materials, and any other relevant materials relating to UEB and its implementation as and when they become available.
All right. You have heard the resolution. The committee moves its adoption. Is there a second? All right. Canada got ahead of you there, UK. Is there discussion of the resolution?
Yes.
Canada?
Debbie Gillespie from Canada. Ah, that's better. My question is regarding the phrase to be part of a group. I just need a little more background on what the intent is this group, the committee that gathers the... I'm not just clear on that, and what is the background of the resolution from...
I think the intent was that it was just a discussion and an exchange group exchanging information. I don't think the intent was to form a formal committee here. We didn't have anyone from New Zealand on the resolutions committee, and this was submitted from New Zealand. So if New Zealand would like to add anything further, that might be helpful.
It's Maria from New Zealand here. This was, I didn't really want to form a committee as such. It was more of a sharing of information with a person from each country nominated to sort of gather the information together, but nothing too formal. We've got a couple of training manuals and they're in draft form, so I'd be reluctant to share them, but if people know they're available once we finalise them, we've used them for a while, maybe then they could, you know, be passed on to the group.
Thank you. United States?
I was just thinking, this is Diane, that those sound like the 8.4 people from the last resolution.
All right. Australia?
Chairman, Bill Jolly from Australia. I have 2 points. Firstly, I'm unclear how this group relates to the committee that we have, dormant as it may have been recently, on UEB training materials. I'm not sure that we want to set up another group if we've already got one. So I think that needs to be sorted out. Secondly, I'm uncomfortable with the word undertake, because the member countries of ICEB are sovereign states, and I'm not sure that we can tell them to do anything. We can ask them to do it, but we can't resolve that they do things. So that perhaps we might say this General Assembly resolves that all the seven member countries of ICEB be asked to select a contact person.
All right, let's start with that as we'll come back to the training committee issue. Let's start with the second piece, that the member countries be asked to undertake, etc. To select. All right, New Zealand?
It's Maria. That sounds fine, Bill.
All right. Any further discussion of Bill's proposed wording change? Is there objection? Hearing none, we will accept that change in wording. Bill, do you wish to offer a wording change relative to your first point about the training committee?
I think that the General Assembly needs to consider whether the resolution in its present form is necessary. I'm disinclined to support the resolution in its present form without a major revision.
All right.
So I don't have a simple wording change to propose, no.
All right. Yes, United Kingdom.
Okay. Let's see if I can be helpful. There is a training materials committee, and one of the items on the incoming EC's agenda, I've just discovered, is to consider the membership and charge of that, and it would be perfectly compatible with this resolution that they should decide that one of its charges is to implement Resolution 9, and that doesn't require any alteration to Resolution 9. It just requires the EC to put two and two together, and you may or may not consider it capable of doing that. I really think this is an illusory difficulty. It would be possible to think that that the addition of 8.4 by the United States to Resolution 8 makes Resolution 9 unnecessary. That's a different point, and if one was going to discard the resolution on those grounds, I think there would be something to be said for it. But, I mean, the existence of Resolution 9 isn't going to give any extra work in that case to the Training Materials Committee, because it would have to do some work on 8.4. I think they are sufficiently different to be able to be retained, and I think it should just be left to the EC to give it as a charge to the Training Committee.
I observe that your comments caused unrest in the colonies. New Zealand?
Not totally. Mary Schnackenberg from New Zealand. I support Bill's interpretation, and I think that the Executive Committee can look after both 8.4 and 9 and the Training Committee.
Further discussion? Australia?
I'm content to let the resolution go through in its present form and adjourn to lunch, Mr. Chairman.
Now that will be a popular suggestion. Further changes to this resolution? Hearing none, you have heard the resolution, and with a minor wording change, those in favor of adopting the resolution as amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The resolution is adopted. Before we go to lunch, let me turn it to our organizers for announcements.
Thank you, Mr.
Oh, I'm sorry, before we do announcements, UK?
I ought to give notice of the fact that it is our intention to move another resolution that hasn't come to the Resolutions Committee, but is a product of discussion we've previously had, which is to reinstate a version of 2004 Resolution 11, but with changes. That is about Braille promotion. You'll recall that we were critical of the fact that nothing had been done on Braille promotion, so we've thought it ought to be put back in as a specific resolution.
Does somebody want to have a lunch?
All right, we will take that up. We'll continue with resolutions after lunch.
Guess who's got the wording?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And before I speak to our audience here at the Mantaron Russell Hotel, just to thank our ACB radio audience for their presence during this morning session on day 5 of the General Assembly. We'll resume our internet coverage after the luncheon break.
Humanware is proud to be a sponsor of ACB Radio. More information about technology solutions for people who are blind or visually impaired on the web at humanware.com. Humanware, empowering people through Braille.
We have 1 hour to complete the resolutions, and so be patient with me if I seem to be moving you along, but we want to give consideration to all of the resolutions. I'll try to move us along without compromising the opportunity for people to express their views. Without further introduction, I'll turn it back to our chairperson.
Thank you, Dr. Fred. I don't have a microphone. There, sort of, maybe. 10.0. This General Assembly of the International Council on English Braille considering A, that a major consequence of blindness is a reduced capacity to access information about commercial products and the built environment. B, that Braille signage has been mandated in the building regulations of some ICEB members. Noting A, that standards for Braille signage may not be well developed or comprehensive in some ICEB member countries, even though Braille signs may be mandated in some instances owing their building under their building regulations. B, that the Braille codes used for product labeling should enhance international trade. Resolves that ICEB should include the development of technical recommendations on Braille signage and product labeling as a part of its work program. Instructs the Executive Committee, A, to establish a technical subcommittee dealing with Braille signage and product labeling. B, to develop the subcommittee's terms of reference, determine its membership, and identify priority tasks as soon as practicable.
All right, you have heard the resolution. Is there a second?
Australia.
Australia seconds. All right, is there discussion? Hearing none. UK?
Have I got the mic? It's just that this is quite a challenge with regard to packaging, particularly. I'm not against the motion at all, but I'm recognising that it is a challenge because some of us work in different commercial areas, and it's not a sort of English language issue. It's a multi-language issue, and Braille has to, on packaging, particularly within the European Union, be understandable across the many countries of the Union and across the many languages, and that's quite a challenge if it's also got to conform with English standards across the world. Now, it may be that the experience of the European Union could benefit other areas, and the experience of other areas could benefit the experience of the Union, because now, of course, other areas are becoming multi-language as well, such as other languages in the US that impact the public reading of Braille. Thank you.
Further discussion? Hearing none, Australia.
Thank you, Chairman. As the drafter of this resolution, responding to Bill Poole's challenge from earlier in the week, I'm very mindful of the complexity of this matter and therefore kept the resolution fairly general and not too specific, and recognise that there needs to be some further work done to develop terms of reference for a committee and a specific determination of priority tasks, because there are some standards that have been developed at national and cross-national level, but there is still gaps to be filled in, and as Mike Townsend from the United Kingdom suggests, it is certainly possible, I think, and desirable to look to and benefit from the experience that's been developed in the European Union following the directive that was issued that requires braille labelling on pharmaceutical products and information to be available. So it is an important and a complex piece of work. It's a piece of work where we start initially, I think, by looking at what's available. And these standards are quite important, and I know the chairperson of the Resolutions Committee in reading through the resolutions, certainly familiar with the Braille insofar as it's United States Braille, but the actual embosser that's used is a European embosser. Uh-huh. And that, in fact, means the dots are slightly further apart and the lines are slightly closer together.
No, the dots are closer together.
That's right.
Horizontally.
That's right. The dots are closer, particularly between lines, and that's a European standard, and it does feel quite different. So that the standards that are used for dot spacing within and between lines is quite a significant matter. So I commend the resolution, and I think a number of us will have to apply our collective minds and expertise to moving this matter forward over the next few years.
Thank you. Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favour, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It is adopted.
11.0. This General Assembly of the International Council on English Braille, recalling that the third ICEB General Assembly, Toronto 2004, established an overarching committee and several technical subcommittees to progress the work of finalizing the form and rules of Unified English Braille UEB, appreciating the considerable work that has been done since then by these committees, recognizing A, that further work is necessary in order to complete tasks that these committees have identified as unfinished, B, that the ongoing maintenance of UEB requires an efficient, effective, and representative mechanism, resolves A, that the overarching committee and all UEB-related subcommittees and working groups be requested to complete their current unfinished work by March 31, 2009. B, that in completing their current unfinished work, the overarching committee and other UEB-related committees shall have regard to the value of telephone and virtual conferencing as a means of reaching decisions in a timely and effective manner. Directs the executive committee to establish a mechanism to ensure that the ongoing work associated with the maintenance of UEB be carried out efficiently, effectively, and with appropriate stakeholder representation, commencing on April 1, 2009.
The committee recommends the adoption. Is there a second?
Yes, Australia.
Australia seconds. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It is adopted.
12.0. This fourth General Assembly of the International Council on English Braille, reaffirming the value of international sharing of Braille resources, recognizing that there continues to be significant restrictions to the exchange of Braille material between countries as the result of national copyright legislation and the high cost of circulating Braille material by airmail, resolves to direct the ICEB executive to make representations to relevant national and international bodies aimed at removing these restrictions as far as possible.
The Resolutions Committee moves the adoption. Is there a second? Australia seconds. Is there discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye. Any opposed? It is adopted.
13.0. This fourth General Assembly of the International Council on English Braille, noting that the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, the Convention, has been ratified by 20 nations and will, as a consequence, become a part of international law on May 3, 2008, recognizing that the convention is a development of landmark positive significance for people with disabilities worldwide, appreciating that the convention refers specifically to Braille in its definition of communications in Article 9, in Article 21, and in Article 24, believing that the convention offers strategic opportunities for the assertion and promotion of Braille as a literacy, educational, and participatory medium for people who are blind, resolves to direct the ICEB executive, A, to develop and promote a public response to the convention insofar as the convention pertains to Braille, B, to prepare and disseminate a strategic plan to provide guidance to member countries in utilizing the convention to advance Braille in their respective jurisdictions.
The committee moves adoption. Is there a second?
Yes, New Zealand.
New Zealand seconds. Some competition for that. Is there discussion of the resolution? Hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It is adopted.
The only one that's left is the thank you resolution. Mike Townsend has another one.
All right.
I'd like to put in. I think we should do that
now. I agree. UK?
Before we move on to motion 14, which obviously will round off our sessions, I have a replace and another motion which I would like to propose, which we gave notice of. Shall I?
That would be fine, and for purposes of clarity, your resolution, whether it is accepted or not, will be numbered 14, and the final resolution, therefore, will be numbered 15.
That's what I was aiming for, yes.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. It relates to the promotion of Braille and also the lack of a successor to motion 11 from 2004, which I only noticed this morning, unfortunately, that we didn't get a motion in this area. So the motion is, the promotion of Braille is vital to its future. Therefore, a central activity of ICEB must be the promotion of Braille. This General Assembly resolves that the Braille Promotion Committee be well-resourced, that it functions to proactively support the wide use of Braille, that it facilitates, A, the sharing of promotional and instructional materials and ideas, and B, the exchange of information relating to the promotional opportunities associated with the Louis Braille bicentennial celebrations, that the public relations officer's duties include responsibility for enhancing the ISBE website accordingly. That's the motion.
You have heard the resolution. Is there a second? Canada seconds. Is there discussion of the resolution? I should have put all the resolutions after lunch. New Zealand?
Written.
I'm sorry, Mike. It's Maria from New Zealand. Could I hear it one more time?
Okay, I'm on again, right? It's Dr. Townsend starring on the ACB show. Okay. Judy did say at lunchtime that it's probably good for you just to hear a motion rather than have it written, but that wasn't the ploy. Okay, I'm going to read it carefully, and then it can be taken down, I would imagine. Okay. The promotion of Braille is vital to its future. Therefore, a central activity of ISBE must be the promotion of Braille. This General Assembly resolves that the Braille Promotion Committee be well resourced, that it functions to proactively support the wide use of Braille, that it facilitates A, the sharing of promotional and instructional materials and ideas, and B, the exchange of information relating to the promotional opportunities associated with the Louis Braille bicentennial celebrations, that the public relations officer's duties include responsibility for enhancing the ISBE website accordingly. End of resolution.
You have heard the resolution. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of adopting Resolution 14 as read, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It is adopted.
15.0. This General Assembly of the International Council on English Braille wishes to put on record its warm thanks to the following. 15.1, Vision Australia for its considerable support and excellent hospitality. 15.2, the Australian Braille Authority and the local organizing committee for hosting this assembly, and in particular to John Simpson, Bill Jolly, and the excellent Braille transcribers for all their efforts that ensured a successful meeting. 15.3, the observers for their participation and contributions to the success of the meeting. 15.4, the volunteers who provided assistance that contributed to the smooth running of the meeting. 15.5, ACB Radio for streaming the conference sessions on ACB Radio World. And 15.6, the ICEB President, Dr. Frederick Schroeder, for fair and good-humored chairmanship of the proceedings.
I especially like that last part. The committee has moved adoption. Is there a second?
Second.
United States seconds. Is there discussion?
Yes, there is. Australia.
Australia?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Christine Simpson. I'd like to have that amended under 15.4 to include the words "and hotel staff." So it would read 15.4, the volunteers and hotel staff who provided assistance that contributed to the smooth running of the meeting.
You have heard the proposed wording change. Any comment? If there is no objection to the proposed wording change, hearing none, it will be incorporated. Is there further discussion? UK?
No, that was also our point.
All right. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The resolution is adopted, and we are done with the resolutions. So there you are. Thank you, Judy, for all of your hard work in organizing these resolutions, and thanks to everyone who served on the committee, who participated in drafting. These are very important as they will guide the work of the ICEB from now until the next General Assembly. The next item is consideration of any unfinished business, anything that has not been dealt with elsewhere in the agenda. I know of no additional business, but if there is other, I'd be glad to entertain it now.
Thanks, Star. Where's Rebecca? Thank you. Don't click.
Oh, wait, I think he, yeah.
I was giving you an indication.
Yeah, he's here.
Mr. Chairman, this is a consideration for the committee which is going to look into the labelling issue. I hesitated to get involved in the discussion earlier because of the procedure of giving the delegates priority. So at this moment, I would just like to add that I am concerned that in matters of labelling, be it maps or products, I have found it an unnecessary clutter to include the capital sign. And I would just like to bring that to the attention of the meeting because it has a mixed blessing. We feel that we are producing something that is comparable with print, but and also that we're being grammatically correct. But I don't know that our high standing as literate people has much to do with whether we pander to either of those things in the case of labelling. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I know the UK will fiercely defend the capital sign. UK?
Bill Poole. Speaking to the point that Becky Maxwell has raised, I have been involved in some of the discussions about what should go on labelling, and we are aware of the fact that there are space constraints in labelling which have an effect on what it is appropriate to put on the label. It doesn't just relate to whether you use capital signs or not. Sometimes capital signs are necessary, but the omission of them is certainly a possibility that we are envisaging. There is other label clutter that we are also looking at. As to the UK's view on capitalisation, as you know, we accept both capitalised and non-capitalised Braille as correct in a non-UEB environment, and we explicitly state in our rules that that labelling is an area where normal use of capitals might be restricted.
Thank you for that. All right, moving on with our agenda. Aubrey Webson is here, and he is the person who has been appointed to chair the World Braille Council, which is a undertaking by the World Blind Union, and it is certainly relevant to the work that we are doing in ICEB. If we think that we have a complex task dealing with Braille in the English-speaking world, Aubrey, I'm afraid, has an enormous task in looking at issues across languages and throughout the world. Aubrey Webson is a person I regard as a real champion of Braille, and we're delighted to welcome him to this General Assembly. I'll now turn the podium to Mr. Webson for his report.
Thank you, Dr. Schrauder. Thank you, members of the conference, for inviting me. And it is a delight, firstly, to be back in Australia, and secondly, to be together with the members of the English Braille Council once again. Thank you very much. I have circulated a very short report to which I will speak and attempt to update you on the activities and a little bit about some of the challenges that are facing the World Braille Council. Before I do that, however, I want to, with the permission of the Chair, Dr. Schrauder, just to bring to your attention some information to be added in your thoughts to the number 14 resolution that was put forward by, I think, our colleagues from Britain or England. I have just come back, or this morning I came in from the meeting of the Global Task Force on Education for All Blind and Visually Impaired Persons, IFAVI, I think they call themselves. And that Global Task Force met in Hanoi, and they were looking at the whole process of including blind and visually impaired children within the global push on education for all. One of the points raised at that meeting was a significant discussion around Braille and the promotion of Braille. So your number 14 resolution fits into it. They tasked me to share with the WBU and to share with groups like this one to raise the question of us all coming together around the promotion of Braille. So as the EFA program unfolds and many countries here have agencies that are involved within the EFA structure. As they unfold, I would be coming to you from time to time, or the leadership within ICEVI would be coming to you from time to time to speak about strategies that we can come together with on the promotion of Braille in general, but for children in particular. So I just put that on the table, and something for your group to work with and think about as you go forward with the promotion of Braille, because we couldn't agree more for the need for the promotion of the widespread use of Braille. The World Braille Council is a committee within the WBU that is given a mandate that, in this last quadrennium, I say in the report that we haven't done a lot. But on reflection, we're probably not giving ourselves enough credit for the interest that is beginning to rise. We're getting many questions, and we're getting many queries, and some of which I will point to. The committee for this period since I met with the officers, I think, of the WBC, since I met with the officers of the English Braille Group about three years ago in South Africa, the committee has not truly met and expanded its work for a number of reasons. The committee have had interests from our colleagues in England, or the EBU, but particularly through the RNIB. We've had a lot of collaboration, really, with our colleagues in Canada. Darlene and the Canadian Braille Authority have been very instrumental in including and bringing in the World Braille Council into their activities and asking us to be part of their overall structure. We have had communication and from Bill Jolly in Australia, and Bill has been encouraging us to include folks from New Zealand, and he's been giving us support as to how we can get the council more involved in some of the work that's going on. We've also had some interest from India. And India, although it's a big user of English Braille, it's probably also not, it's on the crust. It's not quite the English Braille, but it's probably used more English Braille than most places anyway. But the Indian Braille Authority, and they would have been here with us this weekend, but they're just coming out of a meeting and couldn't come down. But they too have shown a lot of interest. So on the World Braille Council, so in the next quadrennium, I think that would hold well. The non-English-speaking countries, France and in Canada, Quebec, have shown some interest. So I think for the next WBU quadrennium, there is now going to be a much stronger platform for bringing people together to begin to figure out what the World Braille Council can be, if there really is such a need for a World Braille Council. When I sit here and I listen to your resolutions and I listen to the work that you are doing, I am blown away, because I wonder if, I wish something like this could exist in other language groups, and then the question is it the WBC to do that? Well, that's something I hope we would speak about on the weekend, on Saturday, for those who are going to be in the small discussion around the future of the World Braille Council. We had put to you, so despite the lack of what I call achievement, there were a few things that I would like to report to you on. We started out the quadrennium by calling it a conversation with Braille. And I think that's where the whole promotion, our promotion ideas are. We believe, because we work a lot in the developing countries, and because there is a lot of discussion and development by development organizations, the non-government organizations, around challenging the use of Braille, we thought that it is important to extend the conversation with Braille. To do that, we believe that there should be a blog. The blog, we worked with three of our international partners to try to get a blog not materialize. There is still a need for that conversation, especially if you're thinking about the promotion of Braille. I could not say this with more urgency, because in developing countries, maybe I am not as worried in Australia or England or the United States or Canada, but I am worried in developing countries, because the development agencies, many find it much more expedient to separate Braille from technology, and there is and should be no separation. They are complementary. And I believe that there should be a blog that can have a conversation, that can bring some of the points raised in your meeting here to the table, bring other discussions, bring young people into the discussion. The Canadian Braille Authority is doing a wonderful thing through something they're calling Braille Stories that they are going to be putting up on their Braille Authority website during next year. I think we got to have those stories and we got to have a conversation, and I would urge that the World Blind Union, together with its colleagues like you, begin to do something about that. I know some of you in the room know that how I feel about this. When I was here last, I urged that that your organization begin to look at some Braille authorities in other parts of the developing world. I'm glad to report to you that we have had some advancement in Africa on that. Last May, in May of 2007, Jean Obi attended the Africa Forum. At the Africa Forum, we began to pursue the discussion of other African countries who use English Braille and Braille in general to begin to form Braille authorities. There has been, together with the ICVI, some movement in Kenya, some movement in Ghana, some movement in Uganda to that end. We hope that they will be able to have Braille authorities that can participate in your activities and that can participate in an African-wide discussion as they look at issues around Braille. It is particularly important as the UBE comes in to practice, and many of these countries will receive material from programs that will use the formats that you are making decisions on, and their participation then would be very useful. By the way, also we had at the Africa Forum, Joe Sullivan, who is one of the gurus in getting the Braille together, even in Africa, was present, and we were very pleased to have Joe, so he can have a conversation with many of our colleagues in Africa about Braille. I think Joe might be in the room. Welcome, Joe. Thank you very much. I also urged you last time for that your organization should begin a discussion with ICVI. And I know Bill was at the meeting of the ICVI, the ICVI conference last summer, I think it was, or was it 2 summers ago? I think it was 2006 in Malaysia, and I know that it was at this place. I urge you even more so now that we are the ICVI is leading the joint effort between ICBI and WBU, now that they are leading the joint effort on education for all, that again, this organization, which I think is a really very important organization, ought to make its presence within the broader international community so that it can have a voice, and more so that the rest of the international partners within the blindness system can hear what you hear and learn, understand of your work. And the reason why it's so important is you are working on matters around English Braille, which is, and your efforts here has probably the broadest impact in meeting the person. You know, when we speak of blindness a lot, we speak of blindness and visual impairment as a broad, generic matter of concern, but your matter of Braille, our concern of Braille is not generic, it's individual. Each person who is blind has to read Braille by himself, herself, not as a group. And the issue of whether a capital is put on a label or not is an individual concern here for me when I pick it up. And that's the matter that I want people to hear when you speak that you are affecting the individual school child's life as he or she sits in the exam. And I tell you from my own experience, I think I said that last time in the Caribbean, where you sit on an exam and you learn in one code and you get it and you get the exam in another code, and it's chaos. So we need you to be at the table. We need you to be speaking to WBU. We need you to be speaking to ICVI, EFA, FAVI. So we need to hear and know what's going on. And that, I think, is from the World Braille Council, we urge you to be part of this discussion. And depending on what happens with the WBC as it unfolds in the next quadrennial of WBU, for you to be a part of that as well. Finally, I will, as we will be discussing more completely with a small group of you on Saturday, the future and the work of the World Braille Council, and we really look forward to your participation, your input, and your guidance. I think what I am looking for at a personal level in being given the chairmanship of the World Braille Council is your guidance. Your guidance on helping me to tell the WBU how we should go, where we should go. The WBC had the enormous task. It had the fortune in its early life to be led by Fred. And Dr. Schroeder gave us that kind of start. We need him still. We need you to be with us on Saturday, Fred. We need your guidance to help us, to help the WBU and help the broader community of Braille users with some decisions as to what the council might do and where that conversation might take us in the next 50 years. That's the thinking we need to put forward. Thank you again for the opportunity. Thank you for allowing us to be able to share this platform and to be part of your meeting, even though it's only for a little while. We apologize that we could not be here from the very beginning of the meeting, within our very small community of service work in blindness, meetings tend to overlap. And in this last 2 weeks, I was invited to be at three meetings in India, in Hanoi, and here, and I could obviously barely make two. I couldn't make three. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for that, and I will be here on Saturday. I hope that Saturday late afternoon you will feel about my participation the way you do now. We'll see. If you are willing to entertain questions or discussion.
Sure, thanks.
All right. Is there discussion? UK?
Thank you. This is Bill Poole, United Kingdom. I have several things to say. I only learnt sometime in the middle of March that it was planned to hold a planning meeting relating to the World Braille Council on this coming Saturday. By then, we had already booked our tickets for the entire journey to this assembly and back, and I'm afraid it involves leaving early on Saturday morning, so I shall not be present at the discussion you have, but I want to say some things relevant to it. I have received your report this afternoon, and I have read it, and there are one or two things I'd like to pull out that seem to me particularly relevant to the activities of ICEB. One you referred to in your speech at the Africa Forum. Action was tabled to work in collaboration with the ICEVI to support and establish Braille authorities in Africa. Steps have been taken in Kenya, Uganda, and Ghana. It's clearly necessary that we should monitor these steps and give support to them so that they do mature into a viable organisation in those countries. That is a task we should undertake as members of ICEB. You then talk about India, and you say they are taking advantage of 2009 in the commemoration of the Louis Braille bicentenary. the Indian Braille Authority should be an important part of any process going forward. Well, one of the processes going forward that they should be an important part of is the development of activities in relation to English Braille, because India is a language, as you said, where English Braille is extensively used. And it is some years ago since we tried to get India to join ICEB. Now that it has got an established Braille authority, we clearly ought to approach them again and suggest that it would be to the advantage of us as well as them that they should join the ICEB. I hope that that's one of the things that we will do early. Turning to the Braille Council itself, you make a point that when you're discussing your conversation about Braille and your web blog, that's okay, but a Braille blog could take two forms. It could be an indefinitely protracted, directionless form of chatter, or it could provide ideas which people who are trying to form the World Braille Council can pursue, because it could guide them in the thoughts of ordinary Braille users as to what they'd like a council to be. But actually, the leadership of the Braille community has to play a role. It can't be a substitute for the leadership of the Braille community playing its role. Mm-hmm. That leadership can receive ideas and be responsive to them and take them up where they recognise merit in them. But it does actually have to think for itself, and it has to form a strategy for getting this council off the ground. And that is what I understand is going to happen on Saturday. Now, the Braille Council is not just about a constitution, but it does actually have to have guidelines for the way it works. It has to make decisions about things like whether it wants to be part of the WBU in some way parallel to it.
Correct.
I don't have strong views that way, but I'm inclined to the view that if it was part of the WBU, it would be able to take advantage of the resources that the WBU has available, and that it would on the whole be beneficial rather than the reverse if it were to be part of the WBU. That might involve changing the WBU constitution in order to be able to make it function effectively as an organ of the WBU, but I don't think that is an insurmountable problem. It also has to decide what sort of things it's going to try and do. Now, we did draft a constitution at the beginning of the 21st century. We had a meeting in Paris in 2002, among other things, and and we made it clear that that we wanted the council to be not simply a body that legislated about Braille standards, and certainly not a body that sought to overrule the standard-setting bodies that already exist. But we did think that there was a place for it in assisting code unification, and obviously the field of package labelling might be one where you have a worldwide phenomenon which transcends language groups, where Braille has got to find the best way for Braille users to be served by the kind of coding that is used on packaging. But that's not the only function that we, when we drew up the constitution, had in mind for the council. We also thought it should promote knowledge of and use of Braille, that it should stimulate the development of production units and of library services in countries throughout the world, and that it should encourage the training of teachers and the teaching of Braille and the increased use of Braille. That's not a standard setting issue, but it's very important. And so when we drafted the Constitution, we weren't taking a narrow view of what the Council ought to be. The WBU at its assembly, I think in 2004, in its wisdom, decided to dispense with the Constitution, which is a perfectly possible thing to do, but it didn't decide to put anything in its place or devise any credible mechanism for achieving that quickly. So we're a little further back from where we were 6 years ago, and that's a pity, but I'm sure we can catch up on that if we have the will to do so. We have to recognise that for a World Braille Council to be credible, it has to have representatives of all the major language groups, not just European language groups like French and Spanish, which are spoken all over the world, or in different, in non-European parts of the world, but also languages like Arabic and Chinese, and also Russian, which is a European language, languages which are widely spoken and which have Braille codes and which have an interest in promoting the teaching and use of Braille and the development of Braille archives and libraries. I don't understand how we will be credible if we have a planning meeting intended to direct the development of the Council from which members of major language groups are absent. Mm-hmm. As far as I understand, this is a virtually entirely English-focused meeting that we're going to have on Saturday. And we ought to be humble if that's the case and recognise that we're putting up propositions to other people and not trying to dictate to other language groups what they should be doing. I think we'll get into a more collaborative frame of mind if we can set up some kind of working group that contains members of all the major language groups, or at least half a dozen of them anyway. And then we'll have the capacity to extend our influence beyond English-speaking countries to other parts of the world. So those are the things that I want to say. I'm sorry I shan't be here to assist this process, but I wish it well, and I'm sure that under Aubrey's able leadership, it will achieve as much as it can achieve. But, you know, we're going very slowly.
Thank you, Bill, and much of what you have said there, those are the things the kind of ideas we're looking forward to. It's not that this group is going to lay out for the world what the Council should be. It's exactly what you suggested in the latter part of your comments, where it will be taking ideas back to the UN, the WBU, as to where the Council might go in terms of broadening the scope and really making it functional. If it is to exist, if everybody think there is a need, we have had a very good feedback from France and from India, as I said, Quebec, where those countries have shown an interest. We know that in Latin America there is also an interest. So there are the Indians were unable to come here, and the Latin America, because you mentioned resource of the WBU, and I chuckled because that's one of the things we're asking for, if it is going to exist, that they got to meaningfully resource the Council so that it can get people together here. We wanted people here from some of the groups, but they just didn't have the resources at the time. So thank you very much, and I'll take into account the points you raised.
Canada.
It's Betty Noble from Canada. I just wanted to clarify something in the report. The Canadian Braille Authority wishes very much that it had come up with the idea of Braille stories, but in fact that is an initiative of the Braille 200 Committee, which is putting together the celebrations for the Louis Braille Bicentenary.
Thank you, Betty, and I should have known that, right? I am on the committee.
We have time for one additional comment. an observer.
Hi, Aubrey. It's Deborah Murphy from Sydney. I'd just like to commend you on your report. It was very comprehensive. One thing I got from the report, which I think is very important, is your mention of the involvement of young people. And I think that's something that needs to maybe be thought, thinking out of the square a little bit, to try and encourage more young Braille readers to get involved. And I think the blog is a good idea. I take Bill's comment that it needs to be properly managed. But I think if we can use the technology we have to try and get a few more comments from young Braille readers, I think that would be very useful. I think they've got a lot to say. Thanks.
Thank you, and I feel very passionate about getting young people involved, because I think if Braille is to live, I said for the 50 years plus is what we have to be thinking, then you better have enough young people being involved. I do believe that Braille is fully, the future of Braille depends on the use by young people.
U.S.?
Yes, thank you. This is Kim Charlson, and I don't know that this is particularly directed at Aubrey, but perhaps to Fred for some elaboration on for me and probably for some other delegates regarding the relationship or membership of ICEB to the World Blind Union, and if there is a technical reason why ICEB cannot be part of the World Blind Union, if you just elaborate a bit on that, and if that's a priority for the executive to consider so that we could move forward as a participating member of the World Blind Union.
I should say never. To the best of my recollection, we have not pursued membership in the WBU. Although it certainly is something that the executive could discuss, and so I think we can defer the conversation to the executive to look at the appropriate mechanism. I'm not familiar enough with the categories of membership of WBU offhand to know how or where we would fit, but certainly that is something that is worth considering. Aubrey, we want to thank you. He has traveled a very long way and did not arrive until just a few hours ago. And I think that speaks to the level of commitment and passion that he has for trying to move forward the cause of Braille worldwide. And it is an enormous task, and yet it is a task that needs to be undertaken. And we certainly commend you and will give all that we can to help further that effort.
Thank you very much.
The next item on our program is the introduction of our new executive, and I'd like to begin by introducing, for whatever remarks she may wish to make, our incoming president. And Mary, you're welcome to come to the podium or to speak from where you are. It's entirely up to you, and then we'll introduce the other newly elected members of the executive.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, Chairman Fred, ladies and gentlemen, and our internet audience. May I thank each of you for the privilege you have given me to serve as President of the International Council on English Braille. New Zealand has a proud history of contributing to developments in Braille and services to the blind. Most recently, we think of people in this room, Janet Reynolds, Maria Stevens, Raylene Smith, and Karen Stobbs, who had to leave us yesterday afternoon, and their contributions to the creation of Unified English Braille, the code, and also the training materials for the New Zealand transition and rollout. We recall that Terry Small attended the 1982 conference that initiated the developments which led to UEB, and we remember the late Terry Small's strong advocacy to ensure blind New Zealanders receive the educational opportunities that he himself did not enjoy. We think of the late Dr. Russell Smith and his development of the Braille note. And I want to recall today another blind New Zealander, the late Sir Clutha Mackenzie. After the Second World War and into the 1950s, he worked with colleagues in the World Council for the Welfare of the Blind to bring the Braille codes and to develop Braille codes for India and Africa. Sir Clutha had a hand in the first edition of World Braille Usage. The revised edition of World Braille Usage remains a Bible for today's Braille production houses. Let us listen now to a brief talk given in 1953, provided for us by the Radio New Zealand Sound Archives.
The result today is that uniformity has been achieved throughout the whole of Africa and most of Asia. Some of the Far Eastern languages still remain to be dealt with, but we've reached the stage where, for example, Arabic presses have produced the Quran in Braille form, which can be read in any country using Arabic. The value of this, of having a uniform Braille system for all these languages, is that the blind child, often in India, for example, or in Africa, learns initially his mother tongue. Then he may also learn a regional language. And finally, if he is a clever student and wants to go on to higher education, he will also learn the European language. And it is an enormous advantage to him if the Braille symbols mean the same thing in every language he learns. And so, in this field, we have achieved for the blind what sighted people do not have. That is, a common script. Not a common language, but a script in which the symbols, in the main, convey the same letter sound.
The late Sir Clutha Mackenzie, provided for us by Radio New Zealand Sound Archives. And thank you to Dale for playing that for us. We may perhaps feel that Sir Clutha's 55-year-old words sound even a little sexist to today's ears, but we cannot deny the pleasure he obviously felt in assisting to provide educational opportunities for blind people through the provision of Braille codes and texts. Our work in the International Council on English Braille allows us to share his pride, to feel his rewards as we too develop the code for today's blind people walking in today's world of print. ICEB is a partnership of blind and sighted contributors. Without this partnership, the work will not succeed. We are privileged to work with special people, such as Joe Sullivan, who has written translation software for many languages and patiently supported us with the development of the Unified English Braille Code. I believe that history will judge Joe as giving as much to Braille in the 20th and 21st centuries as Louis himself did in the 19th century. Thank you, Joe. We must also acknowledge the partners who provide other software and repair our equipment. Paramount among these gifted engineers is here in the room today, Nigel Herring from Sydney. For the Opticon users around the world, Nigel breathes new life into our Opticons, as well as repairing our Braille displays and embossers with speed and reliability. Also, of course, Nigel too writes music Braille translation and tactile graphics software, and we enjoyed a presentation from you, Nigel, yesterday. Thank you very much. I want to acknowledge all the blind and sighted contributors to the several committees of the International Council on English Braille. Your voluntary contribution has been enormous, and Braille users benefit so much from the time, skill, and patience you bring to the challenging tasks. I want to thank my colleagues who are retiring from the ICEB executive, Eileen Curran from the United States, Annette Botha, and Reinette Popplestone from South Africa. I welcome onto the executive Pete Osborne from the United Kingdom, Judy Dixon from the United States, and Christo de Klerk from South Africa. Thank you to my colleagues who are continuing to serve. Fred Schroeder, of course, Darlene Bogart, Bill Jolly, Jean Obi, and Bill Poole. So, what are we going to do on the Executive Committee? As a team, we will support and enable the ICEB committees to continue and complete their work in the Unified English Braille Code. We will explore possibilities for funding research into the teaching of Braille at all levels. We will assist, as appropriate, existing research projects to publicise their results. We will support the development of training materials appropriate for the different country audiences. We will continue support to developing countries as resources allow. We will liaise with the DAISY Consortium to put Braille into the multimedia context. We will work with colleagues who are bringing standards to the debate around tactile graphics. We will support developments in the Braille Music Code and its production so that blind people may continue to enjoy the excitement and peace that music making and music listening offers. Above all, we will promote literacy through Braille in a multimedia technology world that seems to downvalue Braille. When we meet as the executive tomorrow, and as we work together, we will set achievable goals and keep monitoring progress so that we can report with pride to the 5th General Assembly in 2012. Thank you again for the privilege you have given me. Thank you for the 8 wonderfully able colleagues who share with me responsibility for ICEB as members of the executive. In the quadrennium that includes the celebration of Louis Braille's bicentenary, I look forward to delivering Braille to the General Assembly in 2012 in an even stronger state than it is today. Before I close, may I thank, on behalf of all of you, the members of the local organising committee, and the staff and volunteers and governance of Vision Australia and the team here in the hotel, and particularly the team at Vision Australia for their financial and personal support that has made this fourth General Assembly both possible and extraordinarily rewarding for us all. Tonight, we look forward to enjoying a celebratory dinner and listening to advice from another of Australia's extremely successful blind beneficiaries of Braille, Human Rights Commissioner Graham Innes. And tomorrow, it's back to work for us all on the road of building Braille. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much for those inspiring remarks. And as all of us in the room have observed, the future of this organization is clearly in good hands. Darlene Bogart has been elected as the Vice President of ICEB. Darlene?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to say a word? Well, I suppose that was one word. The newly elected Secretary is Judy Dixon. And Judy, I would invite you to say a word if you'd like. A talkative executive. Our newly elected treasurer is Bill Jolly. And Bill, would you like to say a word?
I'm not sure if I'm true to form, exciting some or disappointing others. I'd like to thank the Nominations Committee for proposing me and the General Assembly for endorsing that proposal. I truly believe that this is a... and that I'm privileged to be a part of an exceptionally talented and hard-working executive, and I look forward very optimistically to the next 4 years. I believe this ICEB has a very strong team, and that we really can work together. And we've got a strong driver as our chair who will call us to question if we're a bit slow to make our reports, and I think we'll have a very strong and productive period ahead of us.
Thank you, Bill. Our our newly elected public relations officer, Pete Osborne.
Thank you. And again, thank you for electing me. It is a decision you are going to come to regret, and I'm going to explain why. Okay, so we have existed in the rarefied oxygen that has been the Braille discussion over the last 5 days. It's been quite a heady mixture of arguments about ands and fors, arguments about dots, discussions about dots, and a lot of discussion about relevant issues to Braille. In my view, all of that discussion will have been a complete waste of time if we all go away from here and go back to our day jobs, go back to our lives, and forget the role that each of us has as individuals in promoting the availability and the use of Braille. I, for one, am not going to allow you to do that because I know where you all live. And I have a challenge to you. I have a question. What are you personally going to do following this event to ensure the success of the resolutions that we have all discussed today? I would like you to reflect on that, and by all means, email me with your ideas. Email us with your ideas. It'd be very helpful to have contact from you. If you don't, I'll find you.
Thank you for that, I think. And our newly elected members at large, begin with Christo de Klerk.
I would like to start off by thanking you for electing me.
Then I would like to pay tribute to my predecessor, a member at large from South Africa, Antoinette Botha. Although my feet are substantially larger than hers, her shoes will be difficult to fill. And that is all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Jean Obi.
I wish to thank you for electing me to the committee again. I'm glad I've handed over secretaryship to, or in process of handing it over to Judy, and I look forward to serving on the committee again. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill Poole.
Bill Poole. Hello. I too would like to thank you for re-electing me. I shall try to spend these 4 years contributing as much as I can in the area where I have strengths. I think I should tell you that this may be the final assembly that I shall attend of ICEB. That's not certain, but it's possible. We have plans, as I told you, to merge Bork with two other organizations, and when that happens, it is quite uncertain what my role within the newly formed organization will be. In addition, I do wish to write something before I die, and you know, you can't go on putting it off forever. So the possibility exists that I may not be here in 4 years' time at this assembly meeting, at any rate in the capacity of a delegate. But if I'm not, I want to take this opportunity of saying that I have enjoyed very greatly the pleasure of working with people who really have put national interests on the back burner when trying to plan what is best for Braille users. They come from a national position, of course we all do, but I have been impressed by the way in which people have been prepared to submerge narrow interests into wider ones, to submerge local interests into international ones. And that is not something you find in every organization that I have been a member of. And it's not something that you find on the political stage generally. So, you know, if I don't come back, remember that I will wish you well, whatever you may do in future assemblies and the future work that needs to be done in relation not only to Braille codes, but to Braille promotion and the development of Braille libraries, for which I have a particular passion. I am, after all, an antiquarian book dealer, but I don't deal in Braille books yet.
And, yes, Darlene?
No won't do, will it? I certainly am very pleased to be part of the executive going forth the next 4 years, and I think that hearing what Mary had to said just overwhelmed me entirely. I'm just thrilled to be part of it. And as I look around the room, only Bill Poole and I were at the table when all of this began back in Washington, D.C. in the early 80s. So, Bill, please come back. I don't want to be the
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyways, thanks.
Well, thank you, Darlene. Thank you, Bill. And thank you to all of the newly elected members of the ICEB executive. As you see, there is much work to be done. It is a heavy load, often a daunting load. And yet, I can say from my own experience, it has been one of the most rewarding things in which I have had the pleasure of being involved. I've learned a tremendous amount in my experience with ICEB. It wasn't until 1988 in London that I learned that a slash was also an oblique stroke. And I've learned a good bit since then. And have made some friendships that have tremendously enriched my life. Looking ahead to 2012, the executive will have to make the final determination and plans for where and when the 2012 General Assembly will take place. But as we discuss this issue and look forward, I'd like to call on Christo de Klerk.
Thank you, Chair. South Africa would like to invite ICEB to have the next General Assembly in South Africa. If you decide to do so, it will most likely be held in the Pretoria-Johannesburg region, not necessarily, but most likely. You are very welcome, and we hope that you do accept.
Thank you very much for that invitation. I think the decision will rest on some degree on how many wineries are in the immediate area. But having had the pleasure of being in South Africa twice now, I can say it is a beautiful, beautiful country with open and warm, gracious people. And I'm certain that the executive will appreciate the invitation and look at it quite seriously. Before we do our final closing, are there other matters to come before the Assembly? Canada?
It's Darlene. It's been a tradition of Canada to bring maple syrup and distribute it, and I don't have any this year. But I do have something else for you, and that is that the CNIB is going to send each of you a Braille, not each of you personally, but each country, a copy of the IPA Braille in Braille.
Are there other matters to come before the Assembly? All right, before we do our final close, I'd like to turn the microphone to John Simpson for some announcements and other information.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of reminders about arrangements for the remainder of today and this evening. Firstly, Vision Australia have gone to a great deal of effort to prepare Braille for this meeting. Please take your Braille copies with you and make sure that they're passed on to people in your own countries who might have an interest in these matters. We don't particularly want to have to send back to Vision Australia all those volumes of Braille for disposal. And on the subject of documentation, of course, the publications that I've referred to previously, Peter Osborne's paper and the revised edition of the UEB report are still available out on the front counter, so please make sure you take those as well as the kits that were issued to you. The only other thing I want to cover really is to say that, remind you that at 5:50 this evening you need to be in the hotel foyer for transport to our conference dinner, which will be held at the Kooyong Lawn Tennis Club. Please be down there on time. The bus must depart by 6 o'clock in order to keep our schedule with the tennis club. And finally, before I hand back to our chairman, I just ask that when this meeting breaks and you want to stop and chat, if you'd move to the foyer to do that. Our technical team have a major job to have this room into a different shape and complexity for tomorrow's meeting, so if you'd assist us by moving directly out into the foyer area rather than having those conversations in this room. I think that's all I have, Mr. Chairman. Back to you.
Thank you. In closing this General Assembly, I'd like to again thank our conference organizers and sponsors. We have been treated royally, and we have had tremendous access to materials, all of the many materials that were prepared ahead of time, the preparation of the Treasurer's Report and the many resolutions that was turned around in a very short time. It is a wonderful experience to come into a Braille-friendly environment and to have so much material at your fingertips, literally and figuratively, and that takes a great deal of effort. Many other logistics were complicated and required a tremendous amount of work, both from the volunteers and others who helped put this General Assembly together, and I know you joined me in expressing our appreciation to them. And finally, I'd like to thank and to recognize ACB Radio for broadcasting this General Assembly. I believe that the future of Braille is something that is critically important in the lives of blind people throughout the English-speaking world, and having access to the deliberations that have taken place this week will inspire, I hope, the active involvement of many others throughout the English-speaking world in the future activities of the ICEB. I have greatly enjoyed my time as president and look forward to further participation as we move forward with this very important work.
You're listening to coverage of the 4th General Assembly of the International Council on English Braille. We thank Information Alternatives for their support in bringing you this coverage.
HumanWare is a proud sponsor of ACB Radio. More information about technology solutions for people who are blind or visually impaired on the web at humanware.com. HumanWare, empowering people through Braille.